Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of the Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? And now TV host as well, you know, best-selling author, TV host, so many different things in your title. And you're excited about our guest, aren't you? Because anything to discuss the Bible, that makes you excited, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh, it certainly does. And nice to see you, Neil. Yes, my son just got his MD, so he's an MD PhD, and that's how I feel. Like titles keep falling after my name somehow, whatever they mean and whatever they are. But today we have somebody who is fantastic. I've been so excited to talk to you, Kim Harvey Brannon, who has been a Bible teacher for 35 years, I believe, and has been through a lot of trials in life. And a lot of times that's what brings you to where you are, to be able to talk to people and write books. And you have a new book that is called Quiet Conversations, What God Wants You to Know About Him. And I personally love it. I wrote you an Amazon review. And so anyway, thank you for being here, Kim. So great to meet you.
It's a pleasure. I'm excited to be here with both of you. And thank you very much for the Amazon review. Thank you for liking the book. I hope it resonates with readers. And it's been a real exciting journey to be on.
Well, and what a long journey. Because
it has been a long journey.
what God wants you to know about him, my word, you, I'm sure, had to do a deep dive into figuring that out.
It has been a deep dive. Honestly, when I look back on my life, I think ever since I was a little girl growing up, I was always in church, always in Sunday school. I came from a very loving, actively engaged family. I have two older brothers, one I've lost now. But, you know, if the door was open, we were there. And I really do look back on that as probably the very humble beginnings of me falling in love with not only the Lord, but also with God's word. And as soon as I could learn to read, and back then, I think preschoolers probably read now, but back then I was in the first grade, 6 years old, and my mother said I could not wait until I could read the Bible. And back then they didn't have quite so many easy translations to read either. So it was a challenge, and I jumped in quickly and learned bigger words than I probably normally would have. But I've just never looked back. I just love to read God's word, and it just gives me such a wellspring of life. So it comes very naturally to me.
And you see specifically enough how the connectedness of the Bible and the stories and really teaching you life stories. If you're not following God's word and decisions you're making and things like that, you're really going to fall short in life. And, you know, some people that believe just in the universe and not God in that way, read this and see, oh, this makes complete sense. It makes so much sense if we're going to not follow the word. When did you finally see this is something that you continue to want to become a Bible teacher, even though the struggles and trials that you went through, as Kim had mentioned?
I think when I look back, I probably started creating Bible studies on my own and teaching Bible studies when I was in early years of high school, like probably a freshman. I was very actively engaged at my church in the youth group. I had a lot of dear friends that I'd known, you know, since we were all babies in the nursery together. And we had some wonderful adults that were leaders of our group. But one of the things when I look back on, and I'm very grateful, is they wanted to teach us how to lead and how to engage in Bible study and get our peers involved in Bible study, which I actually find kind of revolutionary a little bit for back in the 60s and early 70s. And so we would take turns volunteering to teach, and some of my friends liked it more than others. I just fell in love with it. And my mom tells me that when I was a little girl, I would play with my dolls. I loved dolls. And then I would line them all up and I would get my Bible. And when I say, we're going to talk about God, and I would start playing Sunday school with my dolls and trying to teach them. So I think it's just something that makes me feel very alive. I love looking at the historical deep historical stories in the Old Testament. I love looking at all the characters in the New Testament. I love reading the literature books such as Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And you can start, at least for me, I guess it's a gift God blessed me with, I start to see kind of like common themes, or like, well, if God did this in the Old Testament, maybe that's why he chose to do this thousands of years later in the New Testament, because he's the same God. And perhaps that's why the psalmist proclaimed this, because I see that being lived out by the people of faith in the Bible. So it's kind of been a fun process for me. I like to tell people, I did share in the beginning of the book, like the foreword, that it took a few years to write the book, but it took a whole lot of years to live the book. And I think that life experience that I've been able to have is really what infused the writing, more than just the sitting down and cranking it out, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you think, but I feel like those life experiences really deepen and make so relevant what you have to say. And not that it wouldn't have been deep and relevant before, but there is something about it that just puts a new element onto it, right? Like, how do you, so you lost your husband. I'm so sorry about that.
Yes, thank you.
You lost your brother. That's also very sad. Your mom has Alzheimer's. Yeah. And your dad had a heart attack when he was watching one of your sons.
Had a lot of loss. I've had a lot of loss, but a lot of people do. But I will say, one of the things that has been challenging is, I think for you, you mentioned something early when you said it makes it more relatable when you're able to read a personal life experience. I have read wonderful books in the past on biblical topics, but if the author isn't willing to be vulnerable and share how the wisdom they've gleaned has made a difference in their life, it's harder for me to relate to it. So I love to read books that authors write about biblical truth, but I particularly love books where they engage in sharing stories where they can say, and here's an example in my life where that truth came out to be the reality and how I dealt with it. And I think that with the great losses that I had, as well as that phase of life that I was in, my husband had raised three wonderful children. They, at the point when he became ill with leukemia, our youngest was in her senior year, her last semester of college. The other two were working, her two older brothers. And so, you know, that emptiness syndrome also kind of impacts your writing and your perspective of life, because so much had changed during that process for us. So I do think that the personal experiences are my way of infusing that I've learned this from the Bible, but now I've witnessed it and seen the truth of it borne out in my own life. And I gained a lot of strength and encouragement and love and increased faith through that process.
Because you understand it. You understand why trials happen. You understand what's the reason. There's another seed of benefit behind any of these tough trials and difficulties, what we can do. And you're able to tell the stories about it that are related to the Bible in your book. So how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, because I was very busy at the time when I decided to start writing the book, I had a full-time job at a very, very busy law firm. I was the marketing director. And anybody who's ever worked at a law firm in any capacity knows they love work. And we used to say at the law firm, part-time is full-time and full-time is all the time. So I had often 55 to 60-hour weeks. And it was challenging for me. One of the things that all writers are different. One of the things that was very helpful to me is, over the course of about maybe a 6 or 7 year time frame, I found a wonderful writer's retreat in the mountains of Virginia and went on three separate residencies and took 10 days to 2 weeks each time to just solely focus on writing. Mm-hmm. And that was very helpful to me. I tried, I guess, to be that person that can work full-time crazy hours and then think I can, you know, try to help parents who need me and try to be a supportive church member and neighbor and friend, and thought that I could just kind of squeeze in, oh, okay, if I have 2 hours here, I can write. And then in a few more days, I'll have a half an hour. That just didn't work for me. I needed like full concentration, focus. And I'm kind of a neatnik, and I'll admit that. So what drove me nuts was I would pull out all my resources, all my notes, all my reference books, all my files, and they'd be all over the table with my computer. And if all I could do was an hour and a half, it drove me nuts. I couldn't leave it there because I hate the clutter. So I would have to put it all up. And so I thought, I need to go away where I can just leave everything and just concentrate and focus on that. So that was a really helpful tool for me. And the place that I went was beautiful. And I ended up going back to the same writer's retreat 3 times. So
I love that. I love that because there are so many people who have a book in them and want to write a
book. Absolutely.
And feel like they have to have that half an hour a day set aside or hour and a half a day set aside. And so apparently one of your superpowers is not increasing the number of hours in a day.
I wish it was. I have a sister-in-law, Jane, whom I love dearly. She has for years always said, you know, I don't understand what it is about God and Kim because he gives her 36 hours a day and the rest of us only get 24. So she thinks I do have that superpower, but I really don't. I think it's called sleep. And that sometimes I'm willing to part with sleep that I much would desire and enjoy very much. So.
Ah, and then you're able to do it, right? Exactly. The number of hours. That's a good question. To deal with is it's the organization staying that way. And I think you probably learned that from the law firm as well, right?
Yes. Yes. And keeping track of hours and everything had to do with a clock. And so you've just.
So time is everything.
Busy. Time is everything. And time is the greatest gift we have. Mm-hmm. You know, that we get to, I like to think of time as a pie and you can cut so many pieces, but the more you cut, the smaller the pieces become. And so you've just got to find what works for you. And for me, that was kind of the system that worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great analogy. I love that, the pie and cutting too many pieces. That's so good. Yeah, so Kim, you are in Florida. You're a Florida native, which a lot of people are transplants from other states.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, so you get to see the water all the time, right? You're in the Tampa area, I believe.
Yes.
What do you think that does for you?
It just... enlarges my heart. I love taking morning walks. I'm about literally like 6 or 7 minutes walk away from Tampa Bay. It's absolutely beautiful. My favorite time is probably early in the morning when I go because the water is very still. And it's got a beautiful park there where I go. It's got a big long pier where these wonderful old curmudgeon gentlemen sit out there and fish and they never catch anything, but they're always happy to be there. And morning, you know, we always say good morning. But I just love it because I feel very closely connected to God in places of water. I grew up on a lake in North Tampa. My parents, when I went to college, and I'm the third of three. So, you know, some people say they go to college and their mother turns their bedroom into a sewing room. I went to college and my parents bought a beach condo. And I said, okay, they want us to come back because they know we all love the beach. So 2 out of 3 of us came back initially. And I just adore the beach. And so our family spent all kinds of holidays and special times together at the beach. I love the sunset on the west coast of Florida. And so the reason I think I feel connected in places of water, whether it's an ocean, a gulf, a river, a bay, is because when you look at water like that, you see the vastness of God to me. That's what I feel. Wow. And I see his boundless love and that you can't even, especially like the Gulf or the ocean, you can't see the other side, which to me is such a metaphor for life. We can't see the other side of life. We don't know what tomorrow holds. All we have is today and it's a gift. And so it just inspires me and encourages me. And if I'm feeling down or I've had a tough day or the night before, it always makes me feel like it's a beautiful, fresh day. I have a clean slate. Look at this boundless love and grace and mercy that's here for me. So it always inspires me to be near water.
Fabulous. Now, Kim has a question about love. Go ahead, Kim, with your question.
Yeah, so...
Because you're an author of love. I know that. I enjoyed your book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So yeah, so you know that I dedicated this year to figuring out the true meaning of love. And it was a eat, pray, love sort of experience. It was crazy time in Haiti mostly. And so I learned so much about love, and God is love. God is love, which is one of the reasons I wanted to do this deep dive, because if God is love, then we should be too, right? We're created in his image.
Exactly.
And so with your studies and everything that you've dove into and really working on the character of God, where does God is love fit into that?
Well, I honestly think it's perhaps a central theme of everything that I write about, with all the different concepts and principles and ideas. I think that the disciple John said it well in his epistle, the first epistle, when he said, God is love. Now, it doesn't say the opposite of that. Love is God. I think there's a difference. God is love. He is the personification of love. And I think it's important that John also made very clear that he loved us first. And because of that, he sent his son Christ to atone for us. But everything we know of creation, God created the world in love. He is still a creative God. He's creating. He takes a very messy situation and sends love through in his amazing way, through grace or mercy. And love can penetrate all kinds of situations and difficulties and relationships and calamities and catastrophes and tragedies. And love always helps strengthen us in the midst of whatever life doles our way.
Great answer. I love that. It's so true. And, you know, it says God is love. John says God is love, not that God loves.
Right.
But that
he is love.
Yeah.
So that's why when we have Christ in our hearts, we are love. We have a part of God in our heart and the Holy Spirit. We have God's love within us, and it permeates what we say, what we think, the decisions we make. And when it doesn't, it pricks our heart and our conscience to know, oh, I messed that up again. Why is it I keep making that same mistake over and over? And then I pray to the Lord and I ask for forgiveness. And sometimes, you know, I think we all wonder, like, doesn't he get tired of Kim Harvey Brand and asking for the same forgiveness for the same sins over and over? But because he's love, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's just like a child. If you love a child, no matter what they do, you're still going to love them.
Okay.
And he's our Heavenly Father. And so.
Where's the place people can purchase the book? Learn more about you, Kim.
Thank you.
Where's the best place? Do you have a website, Kim?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hello, I guess I need a hearing aid. The best place to learn more about me, I do have a website. It is www.kimharveybrannon.com. And most people my entire married life have misspelled Brannon. It's B-R-A-N-N-A-N. People usually, they love throwing vowels like O, E, I, but they rarely get the A, which is what it is. But, and my book is available on Amazon. So hopefully people can easily find out more about me. And I love to connect with readers. I love to hear their thoughts. I love to entertain their questions. I love their insights. I feel like I learn more than anybody when I get to engage with people.
This is fantastic. Excellent. Thanks again. We appreciate it, Kim.
Thank you both so much. And I hope you take care, and God bless you both.
All right. Again, this was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is podcast. Take care, guys.